Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Diary of a Common Man. My name is Salim Lalani and thank you so much for joining me once again. Last week we discussed rituals and prayers and how they are designed to psychologically manipulate our minds. This week we will begin our discussion on fear, a human emotion which allows people with ill intent to abuse us. Not only is this a lesson for Aga Khanis, but most of us who are abused but not aware of it. Before we begin, let's do some housekeeping. I'm pleased to announce that the name of the trust is Common Man's Trust. However, it is only a name at the moment. I know a lot of people are waiting to donate. We should get you the details hopefully by the end of the week. The trust will now be formed in America. We couldn't find anyone, we couldn't find trustees in Canada. This week we are requesting event organizers and media consultants to donate their time and their expertise. Please call me if you are interested. Your service will be greatly appreciated. My viewer will remember that we discussed 1/4 majalis in previous episodes. To refresh your memory, the way it works is when you become a member, you will receive lots of blessings only for 25% of your income. Up until now, most of the members in this majalis were old people who were not working, and they basically depended on the pocket money that they received from their children. Now, pocket money, 25%, small amount, guess what? Not good for business, is it? An insider has reported that in India, the system now requires you to be younger and working to be able to join 1/4 majalis. That's where the money is. I'll appreciate if any of my viewer can confirm this report for me in other parts of the world. During this series, this video series, from time to time I have clarified important matters. However, I continue to get questions that I have already answered, and I must admit they are a little bit frustrating, but that's okay. We are going to address that issue today so that I'm not frustrated and you are not frustrated, right? Now, the most popular questions people ask is, what is my agenda? What am I trying to do? What am I trying to achieve? And what is my new religion? And a lot of people are also alleging that I am doing all this for money. So I've decided to repeat my responses to these issues every week. One day it will register. My religion. People want to know, now that I am out of Aga Khani system, what is my new religion? I get this question frequently, and particularly from my Muslim brothers and sisters, and I have clarified this issue many times. In fact, I did it last week and I got one this morning again. Once again, I do not follow any faith-based system, including Islam, so please listen to me and get this right. A few people actually have chosen to use my channel to push their Muslim agenda. For example, a couple of Muslim brothers have insisted that I join Islam or else I am a kafir. To these Muslims, I wish to advise, I will still not subscribe to Islam. Even though I think Aga Khanis are being taken for a ride, I'm not advising them to leave or join something else. I am just making them aware of the reality. And then once I make them aware of the reality, I'll leave them alone to have their choice. If they choose to stay within Aghakhani system, is their choice, and that choice must be respected, does not matter what. I do not give you or anyone else the right to force me into anything. I am an individual and I have a right to choose, and I exercise that right to choose. If you continue to force me, you will be blocked. You will not be welcome on my channel, and I hope that situation does not arise. I want you to remember, this channel, this work, this series is not about who believes what. It is about reporting human abuse. Get this right. This channel is not about who believes what. It is about reporting human abuse. So if I get any comments or questions which are not relevant to abuse inside the Aga Khani system, I will not respond, and I hope you will understand. As far as the abuse going on elsewhere, yes, there's a lot of abuse going on everywhere. But guess what? Salim Lalani is only an individual. He can only do one thing at a time. So there are other issues you may feel strongly about. You can do something about it. At least I'm doing something about Aga Khani system. I'm doing something about reporting the abuse of a particular cult. If you feel strongly about something, you start your channel and do it. Yeah. So I hope that clarifies, and I hope that I will not get any further questions and comments on this issue. But I will still keep reminding you. One day you will understand. Money, our favorite topic, our favorite occupation. Question is, did Salim design this campaign to make money? That is the question. A lot of people say the same thing in different ways, but that's basically what they're getting at. You did this to make money. Let me actually break some news for you. It'll make you even more suspicious, but that's okay. Yesterday, I have received a call from America from an industrialist. He has pledged $500,000 towards my campaign for next 5 years. I have verified the identity of this individual. He is a multimillionaire in America. Now, I know more people will begin to be suspicious now that donations are getting bigger. Let me put your mind to rest. Firstly, I refuse to have this money deposited in my bank account. Secondly, all donations will be received by the common man's trust account, whether it is $10, whether it is $10 million. Thirdly, I will not be the trustee or the member of the trust. Fourthly, trustees will pay the expenses from the trust funds and declare it as an expense to the tax authorities. I would like to repeat this. Firstly, I refuse to have this money deposited in my bank account. Secondly, all donations will be received by the common man's trust account. Thirdly, I will not be the trustee or the member of the trust. And lastly, trustees will pay the expenses and report it to the taxman. Despite this clarification and public statement, you are entitled to think what you want to think, because I do not have any control over your thoughts. And the last thing, why am I doing this? What do I want? What do I want to achieve? As I said a couple of episodes ago, that the Aga Khani representative asked this question, what do I want? And I said three things: discontinue all material that portray Aga Khan as God. Ginans, vices, rituals, prayers, ceremonies, religious education, curriculum, everything, that anything that has Aga Khan as God, explicitly or implicitly. Second, discontinue the use of material and strategies that force people psychologically into paying money to the Imam. Third, discontinue all cash transactions except for collecting funds for Jamaat Khana upkeep. And if you still want to donate, donate to the poor people in your Jamaat Khana or elsewhere in a masjid or in a temple or wherever. But discontinue the cash transactions except for funds to keep Jamaat Khana going. I understand. This basically means closing the shop. And Aga Khan will not love me for this. But that's basically the way it is. That's what this campaign is about. Let us now return to episode 18. Fear. I promised you last week that we will understand fear in detail because people use this fear to abuse us. So what do we do about this fear? We will now understand what is fear and how do we manage it to protect ourselves and live a better life. So what is fear? Fear is an emotion. Early humans in dark ages used this emotion to survive. It was a survival tool and it still is. But in those days, fear came from natural sources such as fear of animals, natural disasters, etc. But in modern times, apart from natural fears, we are also subjected to unnatural or artificial fearful situations that are created. Loss of a job, loss of accumulated wealth, damaged reputation or loss of reputation, damaged or loss of relationships, and so on and on. Anyway, when we perceive danger or a threat, physiological changes begin to happen within us, and these changes cause us to take action. We either run or we confront. This is also known as the fight or flight response. To our detriment, this emotion of fear can be induced artificially by people around us who know how human mind works. This is called fear conditioning. In 1920, John Watson, a famous American psychologist, conducted an experiment to demonstrate fear conditioning. He called it a little Albert experiment. An 11 months boy named Albert was selected for this experiment and he was taken to a laboratory. And he was conditioned to fear a white rat. This child not only began fearing white rat, but also started fearing other white or furry objects such as a rabbit or a dog. The poor little thing, he even started fearing a cotton ball. Research has shown that a person learns to fear, not only from people and society, but even innocent things like a picture or a story. Some people say that all fear is actually fear of death. When we attend a funeral and see people being buried or being cremated, we are reminded of at least two things. First, we will also have to die. We will also have to go underground and be burned. Second, where are we going to go? Heaven or hell? Actually, we don't actually mind all that much if we go to heaven. We just don't want to go to hell. Now, don't give me heaven. Don't send me to heaven. That's okay. I'm okay with that. But do not send me to hell. Why? Because we are told we will be tortured in hell forever. Tell me, which one of my viewer watching me right now is willing to be tortured even for 1 second? Anyone? We have been conditioned to believe, and this is not only Islam, this is not Aga Khanism, this is everywhere. We have been conditioned to believe we will be tortured in hell forever. And the problem is, this torture could only be a microsecond away from right now. Not only that, death is certain and nobody can change that, nobody can do anything about it. It can come to you and me in the next moment. Yes, that freaks us out. But more than that, more than death, there is one thing that freaks us out, and that is the unknown factor. Where am I going to go? Unknown. But it doesn't stop there. We not only worry about the unknown after the death, we fear the unknown whilst we are alive. It has become a full-time occupation to worry and to fear, and we will find something or the other to worry about. What if I don't have enough money to retire? What if I don't get that contract? What if the stock market collapses tomorrow morning? What will people say if I do this or if I do that? What if my girlfriend rejects me? What will people say if my son marries an outcast girl? What if, this what if? Fear of what if has become an integral part of our life. But it was never meant to be that way. We have made it that way. And the reason, the cause of this human situation is ignorance of life. Ignorance of knowing what is life. If I ask you a question, when you live fearfully, what is the quality of your life? Good or bad? Now, forget about the hell after you die for the minute. Okay. You are actually living in hell right now. The hell of what if this happens or that happens, that horrible feeling, that is hell. When this feeling overwhelms us, we commit suicide. And we all know, suicides are on the way up in the modern societies, particularly in the Western societies. And we are a fearful lot. And when people know that we fear, we are scared, they will manipulate us to their benefit. They will control how we think and make us do what we otherwise would not do. Okay, we give you 50% discount on this fridge if you buy today. If you don't, you will miss out. Fear of missing out. Fear. God. Fear of God. Now get this. Fear of God. God that is merciful. And He is. God is only merciful. Get this right. God is only merciful. Nothing else. When we are afraid, a manipulator can talk us out of the truth. We see right in front of us. The truth that we see right in front of us, we cannot see it. Their words become more real than the reality, and the falsehood becomes larger than life. We have discussed earlier that Aga Khani system has many methods of ensuring that not only are you fearful, but you remain fearful for the rest of your life. Ginans, prayers, vaazes, farmans, rituals, and so on and on and on. Religious curriculum, because they know that the day you understand fear, you will no longer subscribe to their system. Now, not only do we fear afterlife, but we also fear society and the people living in that society. We fear them. We fear our relatives, we fear our friends, we fear the people in our community. This fear of people, this fear of our society literally dictates our conduct and our behavior. And sometimes we are willing to sacrifice our conscience to conform to the rules and regulations of our society. We are prepared to kill that conscience. Conscience that is God. Conscience is nothing but a navigation system. This is right, this is wrong. Every individual has this conscience, and we compromise it for people, for the fear of people. And then we go to Jamaat Khana and we say, I want to see God. I want to be enlightened. No, it doesn't work like that. On one hand, you bash him, and then you say, I want to meet God. No, it doesn't work like that. Get it right. Doesn't matter how many tasbihs you're going to take. It does not work like that. Your conscience will have to be alive for God to come to you. God will come to you, and I'm going to show you how he will come to you, because I have seen a little bit of him in me in the last couple of years. I have seen a little bit of him in me, and only a glimpse, which I'll talk about in a minute, only a glimpse has given me some idea as to what this God is. Okay, but let's talk about it in a minute. Let me keep going. So, I was talking about the fear of people. It dictates how we live. It determines the quality of our lives. Is our life going to be a pleasant experience, or is it going to be an unpleasant experience? Are we going to be free like a bird flying in open skies, or are we going to be a bird in a golden cage? Society will decide that. But why will society decide that? Because you have handed the controls to the society, to the people who made you fearful. You are their victims. You are the prisoner, and you don't even know. This bird has become very comfortable in the golden cage. He has got no idea what is it like flying in the open sky, in the vast open sky. No idea at all. The more you fear, the more they will control you. And this is not limited to Aga Khanis. It is another matter that Aga Khan III actually used this fear to build a golden cage for his murid. A cage that is almost impregnable. It cannot be broken. For more than a century, his followers are blissful in their golden cage, completely unaware of the wide open skies. A fish in the pond that has no idea of the vastness of the ocean. It is this pond they want to belong to. They have become comfortable with this cage. But the good news is, more and more Aga Khanis are becoming aware that they have become prisoners and they want to escape. Some are escaping, but the others are still not able to escape. And the reason why they cannot escape is the fear of society. and I promise you, I will help you. I will help you overcome the fear of society. Apart from this video series, if you want to give me a call or send me an email, I will do my best to help you on a personal basis. And I know I'm inviting a lot of calls here, and I could be very busy over the next few years. But if I can make even one person aware and help them escape, my life would be worthwhile. Now, we have already discussed who imprisons you, why do they imprison you, and how do they imprison you. We've already discussed that. Just to refresh your memory, in case, all control systems, including Aga Khan's system, imprison their followers by hijacking the mind for personal gain. That is the game. Okay, now let's understand the power you have to break free. I will try and guide you out of this fear. To break free, you will have to become fearless. I understand this is easier said than done, but this is the only escape route. If this is the only escape route, then you better pay attention. The way to break free is to understand life. Once you understand life, you will become fearless. It is as simple as that. Understand life, fear disappears. Your thoughts will change, you will change, the way you look at life will change, the way you look at yourself will change, the way you look at people around you will change. Everything will change by understanding what is life. Firstly, there are lots of benefits. I can't even describe how many benefits there are of becoming fearless. Okay. Firstly, your self-esteem will skyrocket. Positivity will fill your body and mind. And this positivity, this energy, this positive energy will make you healthy physically, mentally and spiritually. Most importantly, you will begin to connect with the divine. Even in my case, obviously, the connection is not complete. I'm only beginning to understand it. Yeah. But even if it is that much, you will feel the power of that divine that lives inside you. In the Quran, Allah says that I am closer to you than your jugular vein. For some reason, we put him in the sky. I don't know why. He is here, right here, inside me. And I can feel it. And you can also feel it if you become fearless. He will rise from within you. And I'm not joking. I'm talking out of experience. You will become powerful when you will learn how to manage fear. Fear will disappear. It will dissolve just like morning mist disappears in the afternoon sun. Yes, becoming fearless is about inviting the divine to rise from within you. So, let us see how to remove fear. And as I said, to remove fear, you will have to understand life. Besides, understanding life will also prepare you for death. It will remove the fear of death from you completely. As I said before, I am at an elementary stage of overcoming fear, but I have already had a glimpse of the benefits I just spoke about. It makes me feel liberated, empowered, and peaceful. Before we talk about life, let us understand that being fearless does not mean that you should go and stand in front of a approaching train. Being fearless is not becoming stupid. What fearless means is that you are no longer afraid of speaking the truth. You are no longer afraid of conducting yourself truthfully, and you are not afraid of living life truthfully, and you are not afraid of death either. That is fearlessness. Once truth enters your system, the divine will not have any choice but to arise from within you. Now, let's understand life so that you become fearless. There are many steps to this. Let's go to the first step. Life is an illusion. If you understand this much, you are on your way. Life is an illusion. Meditate upon it. Life is an illusion. It is an illusion just like a movie. You are watching a movie and you are completely lost in the illusion on the screen. For a couple of hours, you think this drama is reality. It is only when the lights are switched on, you know this is not reality. Not only that, this illusion is extremely fragile, much more fragile than the movie. At least the movie is guaranteed to last for a couple of hours. This illusion called life, it can disappear within a microsecond. Now I am here, now I am not. So, wake up. Wake up from your deep sleep. You are unconscious. And become aware, become conscious that this life is only an illusion. Don't become too serious about it. What will happen? What will happen? What will happen? What will happen? No. Let things happen. Accept it. And we'll talk about acceptance. We'll talk about becoming conscious, hopefully next week and the week after. Until then, take care and goodbye.